the freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
You want to go to the Seahawks game? All right, give me one more screen.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
I would put very little stock in what Brock Buehr has to say.
Streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app.
Salk, the third time in 2 days, is flat out wrong.
And 710sports.com.
Good morning, everybody. It is Brock and Salk here on a Friday morning. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you're ready for a great day. I know that we are. We certainly are. Tough one. Tough one for the Mariners last night. I got to say, I didn't see it coming either. Mm. That was one of those games I didn't see coming. Sometimes you kind of feel it coming, like, yeah, this isn't enough. You didn't tack on. I didn't see it coming last night. I really felt they were going to win that game.
Oh, what a good time last night in the suite, too. Thanks for coming last night.
It was great to see you there.
That was a blast. We had grasshopper shots.
Everybody's... Brock and I were in a suite yesterday with a lot of people that Brock does business with here at the station. And he and I managed to not even come near each other.
No.
For the better part of an hour
Why
and a half.
Why didn't you want to talk to me?
I was kind of, this guy
just
was talking.
You was watching me work?
One of the nice folks from Comcast Xfinity was telling him, I love the chemistry in the show. I was like, yeah, that's put on. Like, I think you can see that, like, when we're in the same place, we try not to talk to each other. You know, we get 3 hours on the air to talk, and that's it.
Yeah.
Other than that, we don't speak.
Well, you know what else was really funny was the 20 or so of them did not say they liked you very much. Not that they didn't say they didn't say they didn't like you.
That's really nice.
But all 20 of them said, I really like someone in your show. Like, I really like. Oh, I really like.
Was it Boy Howdy?
It was not Boy Howdy. No, it was not Boy Howdy.
Wow, I'm flattered.
Wow.
It was not Big Kyle, no.
Wait, what?
No. In fact, yesterday they all missed Lydia,
too. Good morning, friends.
They all love Lydia.
Lydia, you're back. We missed you.
Oh, my goodness, did they all love
you. How are you?
I missed you guys.
Oh,
I'm good.
You sound terrible.
No, I don't. I sound better. Come on.
Wasn't that last time I said that to her? She got super mad at me.
No, last time you said you look
exhausted. You look
tired. You look exhausted. You look tired.
Exhausted.
So hold on. You look exhausted is worse than you sound terrible?
Yes.
I want to rank it.
Yes.
I want a definitive which is
There's
better.
No question.
Lydia, you missed which is better yesterday. We know that's why you called in sick, because you hate which is better.
No, I love which is
better. No, you don't. You don't like being forced to choose.
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
You don't like which is better, and you know it.
I do.
So which is worse, saying to you, you look tired, or saying you sound awful?
I don't know. I didn't take either personally, so...
Is that true?
I really didn't.
There is no question. It is you look tired.
All right, then Lydia, answer me this: in the last three starts by the three guys that you don't count on really in this rotation, Wade LeBlanc, Christian Bergman, and Marco Gonzalez, the Mariners have given up zero. Those three guys gave up zero earned runs. They gave up one unearned run in those three starts. The team has lost all three. Is that a reflection of their bullpen, or is that a reflection of their lineup?
Oof, that is tough. This or that.
Blame somebody.
It felt more on the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like it was because that is supposed to be the strength of this team. And because a lot of the contributions you're getting were from Guillermo Heredia and from people lower in the lineup that you didn't expect.
Yeah, and you were not facing Gerrit Cole and Justin Verlander in the aces of this game. Right? You were facing him last night, a kid from Eastside Catholic, and kudos to him. I mean... Can you imagine the dream of a lifetime to pitch back and pitch against the Mariners and good for him?
And then they brought in a kid from Edmonds Woodway.
Yeah.
What was going on?
Yeah.
These poor guys from Seattle all get stuck in Detroit. Yeah. Like, they have this wonderful childhood growing up in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. They're like, oh, I can't wait to go play professional baseball. Where am I going? Am I going to go play in San Diego, in beautiful Los Angeles? No. No, I get to, Detroit. I don't want to play in Detroit. I quit.
Well, but you can buy yourself an entire city block. You're going to love it.
Well, those kids from Detroit have taken, what now, three or four from you?
Yeah.
And including the start of it last night in a game that, you're right, I don't think I felt coming. In fact, I felt like the Mariners were just going to explode at some point. You know, you load the bases up early in that game, get the big hit, put three or four on it, and find a way to win the opener of the series. Or second and third there in, what, the seventh inning, and you bunt, and you got the top of the order coming up, and unfortunately, you know, D and Segura can't come through then. And, oh, well, okay, now what? Now what do you do in the eighth inning? And it's the beauty of this game, I think, in really watching it over the last decade or so. so much more than when I watched it as a kid, is the beauty of baseball is the ball is going to find you.
Yeah.
The ball will find you.
I got to be honest.
And you know, we asked Scott yesterday about, you know, the bullpen and what are you going to do in the eighth inning? Is it going to be Nicasio? Is it going to be Pazos? Is it going to be Nick Vincent? The game seems to find those situations.
Whatever flaw your team has will generally be exposed over the course of 162. And right now, the major flaw in this team, in this roster construction, is what they're going to do in the eighth inning. So maybe Ryan Cook, who was great yesterday in his debut, first time he's pitched in 2015, and so hats off to him. Maybe he'll end up being a bigger part of this because he really does have the stuff for it. He was an all-star a few years ago. He's just been hurt a lot. But until that gets worked out, the eighth inning is going to remain this thing you look at and go, kind of hold your breath every single night.
Yeah.
I also got to be honest, and it's not like a major criticism, but Scott Servais has generally said he's not a big put-the-game-in-motion guy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really like to hit and run, and he says he doesn't really like to bunt. And there are times where I disagree with that philosophy. I mean, I'm not a big hit-and-run guy either, but I do like to bunt with a man on second, nobody out, in a tight ball game, depending on who's coming up next. I do think they've used it a little bit too much recently, and there's two situations I'll point to, and maybe this is too inside baseball. For those of you who really like kind of going over the details of the game, there have been two times they've bunted in the last few games that I haven't particularly liked. Mm. One of them was in the one they won, the 11-inning win against Minnesota. In the ninth inning of that game, with a man on first and nobody out, they bunted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's with Heredia against the lefty. So now by all accounts, you like Heredia against the lefty. You're taking his bat out and giving away an out. And it was to set up the scene for what? For Gordon Beckham and D. Gordon against the lefty to get a hit?
Right.
That doesn't make sense. I mean, Scott Servais was out of the game for that. That was Manny Actis' call. I wouldn't have made it. And it didn't work. They ended up winning a couple of innings later. And I got to be honest, I don't know that I liked it last night either. And I understand why you want to have Gordon Beckham bunt with men on first and second, mm-hmm. down a run late in the eighth. But I don't know. I guess
at that point you were up. Yeah, you're up 2-1.
You're up 2-1. You're right, and you're trying to add one more.
Yes. I love that decision though.
You did?
I did too.
Here's what I don't like about it. I don't like setting it. Who are you setting it up for?
D. Gordon.
D. Gordon.
He's hitting 330.
Then let him hit. Then wait for him to come up and get a hit and try to continue to be
with
a table setter.
Scoring position.
D. Gordon is not a run producer. The reason you're trying to put men on second and third is to come up with a fly ball to the outfield. That's not D. Gordon's game. Especially when they're going
to
end up bringing a lefty in to face him.
Gordon Beckham has a 90% chance to get out.
Then pinch run for, then pinch hit for Gordon Beckham.
Yeah, unfortunately, your bench is pretty thin. Unfortunately, and I think Nelly was trying to crank it up for the ninth inning there if they could have got somebody on base late. And, you know, this is where you're a little pinch right now. This is amazing, too. Like, the game's going to find you. And when all the pieces were in order, Mike, man, this is a lengthened lineup. And look at all the damage you're going to do.
Yeah.
And I will say it, man. Scott Servais, well, I won't say it. Scott said it multiple times over the course of this week. Is guys, just do what you can do. Don't do more than you can do. And it's very easy to say those things. It really is. And he's 100% accurate. But for Kyle Seager to now hit fourth.
Yeah.
For Haniger to now hit third. For everybody to do something that they just were not necessarily built for going in or equipped for in every way, that you just kind of do it. And it is just your human nature to want to do a little bit more. And 14 strikeouts last night, man, 14 against those guys, right? Against, you know, all career highs for those guys. And every one of them goes down in the eighth and just an inability. That was a tough one last night. I won't lie to you. That was to begin this series with as much has been going on this week. You've got to find a way to just set the table.
Well, here's
the
good news, Brock. As tough as it is, this team seems to have no conscience whatsoever and no memory.
Yep.
So if you didn't like the way last night's game went, don't worry about it because tonight, well, they will have no effect from it. And if you thought that the big extra inning win the other night was going to be something that propelled them forward, don't worry because they immediately came home and lost 2 out of 3.
Or the Paxton no-no.
They don't seem to have any sense of momentum, any sense of memory, any sense of what happened the night before affecting them the next day, which can be a really good thing, especially coming off a loss like last night. So, hey, I'm glad people disagree with me on the bunt last night. Yeah. Some agree, some disagree. That's the fun of baseball. And I hope we can have more conversations like that throughout the year because I think there's some merit to it. I personally wouldn't have done it last night, and I generally like to bunt with a man on second, nobody out.
Yeah.
I want to look and see who I'm setting up the stage for.
Is there ever just something from – take the analytics out. Is there just ever something from the human nature? Like,
sure.
Okay, D, here you go, man. And D, who had a little a rough night, was hopeful at that point, a couple tough at-bats. Like, okay, good, man. Coach Skip, believe in me. I'm going to get it done for the team.
There
right
could
now.
Be, and these things play out over 162. And, you know, I remember Service telling me about a player a few years ago who bunted at a time when everyone questioned why. And we asked him about it later off the record. He said, oh, yeah, the guy told me he couldn't get a hit and needed to bunt.
Mm.
He's like, yeah, I don't feel good about it right now. Okay, well, then go up and bunt and do something productive. So it's not necessarily a criticism. It's just yep. from the outside. Is it what I would have done? No, it's not how I would have played it last night, and unfortunately, it didn't work. All right, 7:10, time for Need to Know.
Need to Know, the voice of Seattle sports.
Brought to you by VenueKings.com.
Here's what you need to know up first.
Well, Mariners' bullpen and their lineup cost them again last night in a 3-2 loss to the Tigers. Throw the defense in there as well, as Kyle Seager led up a run with a bad error. Mariners take a 2-1 lead into the eighth, but Nick Vincent unfortunately loaded the bases for giving up a 2-run go-ahead single to Jose Iglesias, who has been a Mariner killer so far this year. A walk-off hit the other day, and a big game-winning hit last night as well. He's hitting eighth in that lineup in a bad team. It's really frustrating, but look, that's kind of where this team is at right now. They're going to have a lot of games where they surprise you and win, and this offense is going to bust out.
Yep.
But some others where they've been shut down by some pitchers you really wouldn't want to see. Look, when it's Lance McCullers, Brock, you're right. You can kind of understand it and tip your cap. But to some of the guys that have shut them down recently, yeah, I think it's frustrating to waste really good starts from Marco Gonzalez, Wade LeBlanc, and Christian Bergman, three guys that you're not counting on, got to take advantage of.
Yeah, I guess here's what you need to know, is that the game of baseball, and it finds you. The ball finds you, whether it's on the field or in these situations. And right now, that eighth inning and that setup guy and getting to Diaz, who has been so nails this season, has just been problematic. And I was glad it wasn't Nicasio last night. I didn't want to see him give it up for a fifth time. And Nick Vincent's a guy that's...
I would have preferred that. At least then I could have kept this perfect image of Nick Vincent.
Nick Vincent's a
and
guy...
And his ghost ball.
I know that Scott Service trusts that the numbers trust. Nobody has thrown more swing and miss fastballs going into last night in this league. Even though it averages 88, it's deceptive, but not last night. Detroit was all over it. They made the key plays down the stretch to find a win. And now the Mariners got three more cracks at these Tigers to get it right.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, the machinations and future issues for the Mariners continue after the Robinson Cano suspension. Ken Rosenthal reporting yesterday in The Athletic that the Mariners may be planning to keep D. Gordon at second base long-term while sliding Robinson Cano over to first if and when he returns. According to Rosenthal's sources, the Mariners have been interested in making that move for a while. Cano has not been on board because he wanted to break the record for most home runs as a second baseman. Yeah, I mean, I think eventually this is going to be the case. What's funny, though, is that I think Robbie's defense has been pretty good at second this year.
Yep.
Don't you?
Well, no errors.
Not just that. I mean, he's looked solid. His hands are still so quick.
And his arm is still phenomenal.
Yeah, and he seems to be getting to more balls than he has the last few years. He has seemed to have better range. So I've been
surprised.
What? No. Well, anyway, I was surprised to see this come out that way.
That's pretty good, Kyle. Here's what you need to know. The guys in baseball are always a step ahead of every one of us. Managers think through the game differently than you and I do. GMs, and especially good GMs, thoughtful GMs, and Jerry DePoto is in that line. They are always thinking a step or two ahead, and I don't think there's any doubt about this. When the Rosenthal thought came out, and he linked it to some sources inside there, that yes, this was going to be, from a versatility standpoint, the long-term plan. And it's smart. It's heads up. You got a gold glover, replace him with another gold glover down the stretch. And whether it's in 2018 or it becomes 2019 or 2020, Bobby's not going anywhere with five more years on his deal. D's got three. I like that that thoughtful process moving forward.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Seahawks begin their organized team activities on Monday. They've got just one draft pick left unsigned after Shaquem Griffin agreed to terms on his rookie deal yesterday. So third-round pick Rasheem Green is the only unsigned draft pick. This is, I believe, the last of the voluntary workouts, phase three,
baby.
And after this, they will begin a mandatory minicamp, will be the next deal. So I will not expect Earl Thomas here for this. And then we'll all sit together and wait to find out whether or not he has plans to tank the season once they become mandatory,
yep,
or if he's going to try to get in line here.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how fast the offseasons in the NFL move. We do all this build-up to the draft, and then the draft comes, and then there's a couple weeks after. And then, yes, phase three is the actual organized team activities. It really doesn't look any different than the training camp practices, save for some pads and everything else. It will be fascinating, though, to see how Pete handles this. He's been punished in the past. They've gone too hard. It's been too physical. But he's implementing a new culture with some new pieces and a lot of new young guys. I expect it to be highly competitive. But like you, I don't expect 2-9 to be around anytime soon.
All right, those are three things you need to know every single day. We do that right at 7:10. Here's what we got going on today. I want to let you know that it was so successful last week that we will be opening up the phone lines again at 8 o'clock for whatever it is you want to talk about.
Oh, you want to do it at 8?
No. Yeah, we're doing it at 8 o'clock today. We tried it at 9 o'clock the last time, and the 9 o'clock callers were great.
Yes.
We give them a lot of credit. But because of it, we wanted to challenge the 8 o'clock group to see if they could compete.
It's always a little squishy.
This is going to be like, you know, Brock, when you get up on stage somewhere in front of a crowd, like, all the people on the left are going to... That's what we're doing.
Okay.
Okay, so all the 9 o'clock hour did it last week, and this week it's going to be all the people in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll see whether or not they have the same strength and mental fortitude that we saw from the 9 o'clock hour a week ago. So we'll do that at 8 o'clock. We'll go around the NFL today. Right now, the professor.
John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Song.
If you want to take care of him, take care of him now. The price is only going to go up.
Brought to you by Divorce Lawyers from N.com.
He's too important to let go. You're not trying to
totally break everything down.
Plus, a wild card.
What magic trick would you like to be able to perform?
I can maybe try to have you disappear. That could be nice.
It's John Clayton's Morning Drive with Brock and Song.
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
All right, Shaquem Griffin has been signed. 8 of 9 picks have been signed. What's Rasheem Green's deal? Why isn't that done?
Could get done today.
Is he holding out?
No, nobody's holding out.
Is this
out.
A controversy, John?
No.
Why not? Well, everyone else is signed, but not him.
Somebody even texted yesterday and said, gee, can they get the Shaquem Griffin deal done? Because if not, are they going to cut him?
Yes.
I mean, this pace is faster.
But everybody else is done. I don't understand. What does Rasheem Green think? He's too good for a rookie deal?
No.
I already think that this guy's a problem.
You think he's a problem?
I'm just kidding.
No. I mean, honestly, it's like there's 181 deals done so far league-wide, fastest paced ever of getting it. So there's only about 75 that have remained unsigned. There's usually a little bit more of a problem in the third round. And the reason, and again, it's not going to hold back Green. I mean, he probably will get done today or if not next week. But what happens in the third round is you can get your signing bonus, and there's usually a little bit less available to try to get the right deal done. And also, you know, this is the last round where you actually get a little bit more in the second, third, and fourth year for base salaries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because again, normally it's just going to be straight base salaries, 570 next year and that. So there's a little bit of negotiation in the third round that delays it. What I think at this stage, there is more first round picks than third round picks signed, but in the end, Green will get done.
Just about 3 weeks left. That is it in phase three of the entire offseason program for the Seahawks. Do you think there will be any significant news? And by that, I mean a Dwayne Brown extension or any word on Earl Thomas?
Of those two, no. I don't think anything gets done there. If something gets done on Brown, it'll be done, I think, in training camp. On Earl, of course, nothing because, again, it's voluntary and he's going to volunteer not to be here and then see if he comes in for the mini camp. But, you know, I think the news could be if they still continue to add more players, if there's a veteran out there that they want to add. You know, you can see that they've added a wide receiver and a linebacker. So that could happen. I mean, obviously, you have to guard against any kind of injury, but at this stage, it's just now trying to get the guys that are on this team trying to work, get up to date with the new offense, the new defense, and try to see how good they can be.
Yeah, so I think it's next Thursday is the day that that it's open to the media, their organized practice, which really looks like a training camp practice, John. Now in phase three, you can do 7-on-7, 11-on-11. It's, you know, they really do get after it pretty well. Where will your eyes be? What are a couple of the main storylines you'll be looking for next week?
Well, main storyline certainly to see the running game. How Penny looks, because you saw how well he did in the rookie mini camp. Now to see how he fits in with the veterans, looking on the offensive line to kind of get a glimpse of DJ Fluker to see how he can run block. And again, you're not going to see it like you would in training camp or in the preseason games, because again, the contact still is going to be minimal. You'll be able to see some things. You'll be certainly watching to see how Flowers makes the adjustment over at cornerback. You know, get a glimpse of Barkevious Mingo, because again, you know, he's kind of the sleeper in this group because he comes in and could be a pass rusher and also is going to be the strong side linebacker. And then take a look to see overall how some of the guys improved from last year.
John, let me ask you about a guy who looked a year ago like he was going to be as good as anybody in the league. And I'm not sure that people are talking about him the same way right now. And that's Dak Prescott in Dallas. He's entering year three of his 4-year rookie deal. And at the end of this year, you would think the Cowboys are going to have that negotiation with him for a long-term deal after year three, right? So what does the future for Dak Prescott hold?
future looks good. It's just that last year the receivers were so slow and not able to separate from the cornerbacks that it made it tougher for him to be able to be as successful. And then he loses Ezekiel Elliott for six games.
Is that going to be better this year with no Jason Witten, the other tight end retired as well? They didn't draft a wide receiver up top. I mean, is that going to be improved enough for him to be to really get a read on who Dak is as a quarterback?
Yeah, debatable. I mean, I think they've got a pretty good read. It's just that now you have such a major adjustment at the wide receiver position. You know, they brought in three different wide receivers to add some speed. They really have to have a major drop off at tight end with Jason Witten. And I think anytime you take away, a Dez Bryant and a Jason Witten, it's going to be debatable to see how much of an improvement there can be in
the offense. Does he get a big deal? I mean, will he get one of the franchise quarterback deals after this year?
No, I don't see it. No, because mostly you wait till year four, maybe year five. I mean, you can start to do it, but when you're talking about this kind of money, I mean, it's going to be a debate between $28, $29 million and $23 million. I mean, you're going to wait to that the fourth year, and so I don't see anything getting done after this year. It very well might have to be, you get into the off season after year four of the contract, and then have the franchise tag available. Wow. But don't get something done.
You think Eddie Lacy, Luke Jokel, Will Hoyt? You think any of those guys get a job?
You would hope.
My goodness, it's amazing. It doesn't matter now for compensatory. That's all lost and gone. But those guys that you paid pretty significant money to last year, and none of them have a job.
No, I find that remarkable. I think it's one of the bigger surprises of the offseason, because they go into free agency, they sign seven guys, and now what, they have four or five of them that just haven't been able to get anything, including a couple guys who were their biggest signings.
Yep.
Here is Lacy, comes in over $4 million. Luke Jokel got $8 million, and they can't find a job. I mean, you can understand, maybe some teams, because of the weight and issues and stuff like that, a little reluctant on Lacy. But again, Jokel did start last year. You think you would find something.
I don't know that if I were another team, there was anything on tape that would cause me to sign either one of those two guys. Wild card time.
Time now for the wild card. Wild card.
Mr. Professor Clayton?
Yes.
It's time for Fan Fiction Friday.
Yippee.
John Clayton is a squid who's lived his entire life in fear of being eaten by his arch nemesis, a shark played by Ray Romano. One day, Clayton decides he won't live in fear anymore and creates a plan to trap the shark. With the help of a very talkative oyster played by Boy Howdy and a very dumb sea turtle played by Norm MacDonald, Clayton booby traps a sunken battleship and lures Ray Romano in for the showdown. Will Clayton succeed and free himself from fear, or will he ink himself and finally meet his doom?
I think this is going to work. I mean, the big thing is finding that battleship that can at least lure the shark to come in there. And I think that Norm MacDonald's going to probably be more important here, because I know he's supposed to be dumb, but I think he'll come up with some kind of a good plan.
He usually does.
I mean, he's smarter than you think. And again, it's like we don't know if this shark is real smart or not. And so we just kind of lure him in there and save the day, because I certainly don't want to be on the lunch menu.
I don't blame you. I've never really thought about Ray Romano as a bad guy. That's a great character turn, Howdy. I hadn't thought of considered that.
Hey, John, I heard something yesterday about you. I never thought about
Don't
it.
Ink yourself.
Don't ink yourself, no.
This whole Cleveland Browns thing that we have so much fun did yesterday. Does this go back to your Pittsburgh roots?
Not really.
Does this go back to your days? The Graz said this goes way in the way back machine. When you're growing up on those hard scrabble streets there, and it's a Pittsburgh
fan fiction
thing.
Friday. John Clayton is a kid from the hard scrabble streets of Pittsburgh who hates the Cleveland Browns and can't let go.
That's right.
Is that how Fan Fiction Friday should go next week?
I don't know about that, but all I know is that they've been terrible since 1999. So it's like, tell me what good you can say about the Browns for all those years and the 29 starting quarterbacks that they've had.
Love
all
you, right. JC.
Thanks, John. Have a good weekend. See ya. Thanks. All right, John Clayton, his show at 10 o'clock, and you'll hear him again with Danny David Moore at 4 o'clock every single day. You can always catch us on the app, 710 Sports app. It is driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealer. You see what premieres today at 710sports.com and on the app, Brock?
No.
Jim Moore's new podcast,
I did see that
Bark.
Last night. Yeah.
Are you excited?
I listened to it. I listened to a couple minutes of it.
Well, to the preview.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim's new podcast, Bark, a podcast about dogs, premieres today at 710sports.com or on the app or anywhere you get your podcasts.
With
how about that?
Go-to guy.
Kind of excited to hear Bark and hear about Jim and dogs and all that stuff. So, all right, here's what we got going on. As we said, open phone lines. We're going to do at 8 o'clock to see what you guys have in store for us today. And in the meantime, we're going to do some script writing. Howdy may be creating Fan Fiction Friday, but I've got another movie script to write next. I'm Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
Brock, I'll give you all the money in my wallet if you can tell me who sings this. All right, good. I'm safe. Phew. I was a little worried about that. I actually have a lot of money in my wallet at the moment. Been to the casino somewhat recently and was like, uh-oh. Thanks to the good folks at Snoqualmie, I actually had some money. Not quite. Phew, thank God. Ace of Base. Phew.
That's what I meant.
Every once in a while, you get a little nervous when you say something like that. Like, what if Brock surprises me?
Yep.
And he didn't do it this time. Brock won't let you Welsh on something like that.
Oh, surprise. The tease into the segment. Surprise.
Yes.
Not surprise. Maybe surprise. Mark Teixeira.
Are you surprised by Mark Teixeira coming out of the woodwork to take his shots at Robinson Cano yesterday? I will admit I was not. Here was Mark Teixeira. Oh, hold on. That's not going to work. Let me try to fix this. This one's on me. This is my fault. Oh, let me take responsibility for that. Here you go. This was Mark Teixeira.
Now, when you say you're not surprised, did you suspect it with him?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to get into too much detail.
I don't want to get into much detail. He's probably going to stop there, right?
Yeah. And that is Michael Kay asking Mark Teixeira whether or not he was surprised.
Were you surprised?
His old teammate, Robbie Cano, got busted for PED.
Yeah, I just don't really want to get into too much detail. But, okay, you twist my arm.
Michael, I love Robbie. I mean, but, yeah, I mean, I'm just not surprised. I don't really want to go too much further. But I think a lot of people are kind of saying the same thing. And Cash kind of he had to catch himself in an interview a couple days ago. But, yeah, I mean, just not surprised.
Many people are saying the same thing. I'm not surprised. I mean, I don't want to say anything about it, obviously. I don't want to talk about it. I mean, if you're going to ask, hey, let me tell you, no, I'm not surprised at all. I always kind of assumed that Robinson Cano was juicing. Thanks. Thanks, Mark. It was really nice of you to hold yourself back there.
Is this your script you're writing about your Yankee?
No, we're getting to the script writing in a minute.
Robbie Cano's assistant was on the list for Biogenesis. Now, of course, he had his assistant, you know, buy stuff for him. You know, Alex Rodriguez got popped by Biogenesis, and Melky got popped. They're best friends. When someone gets lumped into that group, it's because there's evidence. There's a paper trail. There's a smoke trail.
It's tough, man. It's a byproduct of what happens when you get popped. You know, people talk, and you can't. And you release a statement through the Players Association, and you're still trying to protect your interests over the long term in the Hall of Fame, and I get all of it.
Well, and even worse, when it coincides with the surgery, right? So Robinson Cano has the surgery. He can't even talk to defend himself or give his point of view.
Nope.
He's just got to grin and bear it here for a few days while everybody from his past comes out of the woodwork to take shots at him.
And especially that market now, okay? Especially in New York. If you're going to pick any market, it's going to be the Yankee market. It's going to be the Yankees where he was for a decade, where he built the majority of his career before he came out here. The Yankees, who did not match the 10-year, $240 million
just
contract.
Just spare me the holier-than-thou garbage. That's all I want.
Yeah.
Just spare me your holier-than-thou garbage. Okay, Mark, Mr. Teixeira, if you're so upset and you knew it all and everybody knew and all those guys were dirty and you knew about it, why don't you give back your ring?
Mm.
They were all on your team that helped you win in 2009 or 10, whatever year it was?
I think 9.
2009. Why don't you give back your ring? Because obviously it wasn't clean. Since you knew that all those guys were doing something wrong and they were all together, why don't you hand your ring back and say that it's tainted?
Mm.
I don't see you doing that.
No,
I'm just fine keeping the ring that all those guys helped me win as a major part of that team. Robinson Cano and Alex Rodriguez. But no, I'm mad about Robinson Cano, so I'm not going to say anything.
Say
but I am
going
to say anything.
Where was he mad?
He made it pretty clear.
Well,
I'm not going to say anything, but yeah, let me be very clear what I think. Whatever, dude. Spare me your righteous indignation. Just spare me. Spare me. Give back your ring if that's how you feel.
Look at your veins.
I just, this stuff ticks me off.
It's a Yankee.
If this is truly how you feel, then turn your ring back in.
Is there not a part of you, though, that appreciates at least some of the transparency? Because baseball guys don't talk. They never do, Mike. I mean, Joe Torre writes a book, and that's about the most you're ever going to get 20-something years later.
Well, how long has Teixeira been out of the league? There's no risk to him.
Yeah.
Where were you when you were a player? Where were you speaking out against all this? Maybe he did, and I don't know about it. And if that's the case, then he can shut me up. But I don't remember Mark Teixeira being on some crusade to take PEDs out of the game when he was a player.
I did think an interesting part of that interview was when he was asked, well, do you feel like you all get lumped together? Are you all just a product of, the steroids era? And he said, no, I definitely don't think the guys that I was friends with, that I was close friends with, I know didn't do it. And I thought, well, okay, so everybody who's friends with you didn't do it, and everybody who's not friends with you did do
it.
It was
a good
just
chance,
a really interesting right? qualifier.
I don't know, man. Just give back your ring. Yeah. Cool. Just say that you didn't deserve the championship you won because it was won by a couple of guys that were on PEDs at the time. Yep. Just give it back and say that because they were cheating, your team won, and so you're a cheater too. And I don't want this ring. It doesn't mean to me what I thought it did. Yep. But he's not going to do that. Of course he's not, because he just gets to sit in his ivory tower and talk afterwards. And I just think it's weak.
Yeah. But when you get popped, these are the consequences of it. When you get hit, as Robbie did, and you drop your appeal, Mike, this is what's going to happen.
And I have no problems with Robbie having to take his shots right now. I'm mad at him too.
Yep.
Like he deserves everything he gets here for a little while. But eventually, all of this will fade. Mm-hmm. And I think what bothers me is this the Yankee thing really does get under my skin, because I know they tried to trade for him.
Mm.
I know they tried to trade for him.
Just a couple of years ago.
So spare me with this we always knew stuff and we were trying to let him go.
Right.
Just don't lie.
Yeah.
Like, you're no better.
That's what they're paid to do. They're paid to be, you know, manipulators, and manipulators of the market and manipulators through the media.
And they're manipulating their fan base and trying to get them all riled up, which is not that hard to do in New York. I just, it bothers me that you sit there and pretend like you're holier than thou, and you let Robinson Cano go because you were always worried about this when you tried to acquire him a couple years later.
Okay, we did Fan Fiction That's Friday weak. In a matter of just 2 minutes. He wrote that script about a squid and a shark and a battleship and everything
By the
else.
Way, how annoying would a talking boy howdy oyster bee. It can't even move. It just sits next to you squawking.
And the one that makes pearls?
It can't even do anything either. It's just sitting there telling you what to do.
It sounds just like Boy Howdy. It doesn't sound that different from the reality.
So he wrote that script. You teased a script. Right, and you only got about 3 minutes now after that fun emotional rant on the Yankees.
Well, I've been trying to come up with the answer as to why Nelson Cruz sounded as bummed out as he did the other day. I mean, if you saw Nelson in the clubhouse the day on what day was that, Tuesday or Wednesday? Tuesday. He just looked morose, and he sounded really sad in all of his comments too.
Yeah, definitely a tough one. You know, I think it's sad news for everybody. You know. We know how important he is for us and the organization, and good friend. So definitely we feel for it, you know, and we support him, you know, and we wish the best.
All right. So, I mean, I don't know that that even gives the full context of it.
You were there, right? You saw him?
If you saw him, he looked sad, and everybody said he seemed very sad. So trying to figure out why, because certainly, I mean, it's not like, you know, one day his perfectly innocent view of the baseball team took a turn. Nelson Cruz himself was popped for PEDs a few years ago. So in his case, certainly it's not righteous indignation.
Yeah.
Why was Nelson Cruz so sad?
Yeah, I think a couple things.
I've been trying to write scripts on that.
Well,
let me add
a couple little additions to the plot at some point here. I think there's a few things going on. Number one, he's been there and he's done it, and he knows what it's like to now forever have an asterisk by your name. That everything is going to come into question for his career, just like it does for Nelly.
Mm.
And it just never goes away. It's just never, ever going away. Number two, I do wonder if Nelly knew. The skip didn't know. The organization didn't know. None of them knew. People, you know, that you've talked to around baseball were surprised about that, that, you know, some of the baseball code or whatever. And if those guys didn't know, it's maybe very likely that Nelly didn't know.
Yeah, I would think that's true. I think there's three things that sort of pop up as possible reasons. And I have no idea. This is 100% speculation. One is what you just said, that it's melancholy for him, that it brings back his own transgressions and it bums him out. Something that he's moved on from and moved past and had a bunch of great seasons ever since. But to have it all brought back up is such a bummer for him to relive the mistake he made. I think that's a very possible solution, a possible script. One is that he knows that they're getting closer, and he's had a bunch of great seasons since that moment. And you can't help but be a suspect. And unfortunately, my mind can't help but drift to, God, I sure hope that his good friend Nelson Cruz isn't going to be the next domino to fall in this thing, and that maybe Nelly's sad because he's worried the end is coming for him. The third is that, and this sounds sort of more like an actual movie, that he's known that Cano's been doing this for a while and has been talking to him and trying to get him to stop and warning him, and the guy didn't heed his warning, and eventually it went this way, and the old grizzled vet goes, God, I tried to tell him, and I'm just so bummed out that it's going to affect this season because I've been trying to tell this guy to stop.
Yes.
And, so those are the three scripts.
And it affects this season.
Right.
In the final year of Nelly's deal to build up for this team, to find the success that they're finding, to have a pretty unique thing going.
And it may be his last one. This may be Nelly's last run either with this team or even in general. I don't know how many years he's got left at his age and the way his body's been breaking down over the last year or so. So, I don't know, just spent some time trying to figure out why it was that Nelly was so upset. Maybe you guys have thoughts. You can always text him in. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Or you could just hang out in your ivory tower like Mark DeSharon.
Or you could call them in 20 minutes.
That's true. The phone lines are getting ready to be open. In fact, I'm going to turn them on.
You're
open.
Whoa.
They're open now. I mean, you can get in ahead of the game. We're going to do Coors Light's Blue 42. We've got some great questions for Brock, including one of the biggest questions of the Seahawks offseason. But the lines are open. Anything you want to say, anything you want to talk about, any sports argument you want to make, we'll be taking those calls at 8 o'clock. 206-421-3776. Blue 42 next. I'm Brock and Salk.
Here we go.
This is Coors Light's Blue 42.
We're going to go red, right, tight, close, sprint left, G, U corner, halfback, flat, on two. Ready, right.
Blue 42 is brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light. The mountains turn blue at 42 degrees.
Blue 42!
Now here's your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Song.
Blue 42! Blue 42!
All right, time for Coors Light's Blue 42. We'll do this for a few minutes. Brock, we got three good football questions, as we always do. And then the lines are open. We've got a bunch of people on hold, but there is a line or two open if you want to jump in. 206-421-3776. Any sports argument you want to make, any question you want to ask, anything you want to comment on here in the local or even national sports scene, we're ready to go. 206-421-3776.
And the top five begins next week.
Oh, you're already ready.
Oh, yeah. The top five's coming next week.
I'm quite ready.
You're not quite ready?
I'm working on a few ancillary pieces.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm quite ready.
Okay, well, I can say this. The content of the 8 a.m. hour may play into it.
Okay.
Like your ability, your talent, your opportunity.
Top five callers.
The game's played here in 20 minutes.
That's right.
So whether or not the official poll is out next week,
This is where you end up with your early rankings, right?
Yeah, for
like
sure.
Like your AP preseason rankings on the five best callers we have.
And Roger Tacoma's Alabama. I mean, there's no question about it. Preseason number one.
I started working on some prizes yesterday.
Oh.
Now, I don't have anything yet.
Oh my gosh.
Because we got to write contest rules, the whole thing. But I started working on some prizes yesterday.
Top five.
Yeah, top five. All right, question number one. Simple question. Is Earl Thomas going to show up for OTAs next week?
No.
Okay. Is Earl Thomas going to show up for a mandatory minicamp?
I believe so. Will Earl Thomas work out at the mandatory minicamp to be determined?
Oh, you think he just hangs out?
Yeah. Because that's what guys do in their positions that want their contract. I know. It makes me gag as well. I hope I'm wrong. I hope next week is phase three. I know this. Next week is phase three of the program. Okay, there's three phases. The first phase is actually just the running and lifting. The phase two is you can get on the field as they've been doing and work as an offense or work as a defense. Phase three, which begins on Monday, is actual football. It's actual 11-on-11. They do team periods, 7-on-7 periods, O-line, D-line periods. It's where this team's gotten in trouble in the past, gotten popped because they've been too physical and too competitive. And they've actually been docked practices and been fined money because it's been elevated. Well, I hope they elevate it again. And I really hope that Earl could be there. I don't think he is. I have no hope or no belief or no reason to think that he will be there, and that's a bummer.
All right, question number two. Talk about those AP preseason rankings, and you've mentioned before you think the Huskies are going to be really high up when those come out. What about Wazoo? What can we expect in kind of a whole new world for them this year?
Yeah, they're going to be fighting the bottom there in the Pac-12 North. I was just on a show early this morning with Ryan Leaf on the Pac-12 network there, and he's doing some work now and getting in the fold. And I think even if you talk to Cougars, they know what they're up against. The staff, there's really two reasons. Number one, the staff overhaul. And number two, you know, just the unbelievable challenge of Tyler Helinski. We spent some time talking about that. We've not thought about it. You know, unfortunately, that's just the nature of this business. You move on. It's football. It's this. It's that. Like, that hurdle to overcome as a program, I just...
You mean emotionally or actually not having their next quarterback?
Everything. Yeah. That he was the guy that had been poured into for 3 years. He was the incumbent. He was going to be the starter. He was going to fill some very large shoes of Luke Falk. And there was no question about that. There was at least some comfort where you have to have that guy in that system. It's really hard to just start at the ground floor. For those two reasons, I think most are predicting that they'll be ahead of Oregon State. You know, Oregon State and Jonathan Smith, year one, new system, new program, they'll be ahead of them. And they may even beat somebody they're not supposed to beat. But they won't be vying for the Pac-12 championship as they have the last few years.
All right, question number three. It's the offseason in the NFL, which means Russell Wilson's up to working on all of his business projects. What's he up to now?
And it's Trace Me App, man. He's invested an awful lot of time, money, and resources into it. And he's putting out a new show on that.
Oh, good.
The trailer came out, much like Jim Moore's Bark trailer came out on 710 and his podcast. Now, Russell's trailer for a show called Legends, fairly impressive group of guys he sits down with.
I've always wanted to learn from others.
I want to know from a true legend what your thought process is.
What it took to reach greatness. We sit down.
Layla Lee, it's an honor.
With truly legendary people.
Renee, how you feeling?
I'm good.
Coach Kerr, it's an honor. Felix, thank you, brother.
The one and only Bill Russell.
Who have changed the game.
That's a pretty impressive, and it speaks to his chops, man. It speaks to the kind of talent that sometimes, Mike, we get so aggravated when the national treetoppers don't really know what's going on. Well, sometimes there's an inverse of that. That the national guys compare Russell to LeBron James of carrying this team. That the national guys look at him as a top five. That the national guys, you know, put him in a sphere that sometimes we locally can nitpick a little bit and that we get a little tired of. But a program where he sits down with the likes of Steve Kerr and Bill Russell and Jim Brown and Layla Ali, it speaks to some of his star power, reminder of all of that. And yeah, Russell never sleeps.
All right, that's today's Coors Light's Blue 42. I think we know about that. I think we're just not always comfortable
with it. Are
we tired?
No,
I think we just don't necessarily like it that much. I don't know that we like Russell's star power.
Well, Lydia, do you like his Russell star power? Does it ever get old for you? Do you feel like Russell does a little bit too much, or do you enjoy it?
I like Russell's star power on the field. How about that?
Yeah. Right. But I don't think that's what we're talking about. Like, I love that, too. I don't know that I love all of his star power.
Yeah. That just gets a little old. You like the underdog. You like the chip on the shoulder. You like the guy that proves everybody wrong rather than the one that's just kind of...
Yeah. I think that's sort of it for
on
me.
On top.
Yeah. So anyway, look, I don't have a problem with this. Go do your thing. And as long as you keep balling out, it doesn't really matter all that much. But it does kind of tie. Yeah, you tire of all of the things he's invested in and interested in.
So. I don't. I watch every one of them.
Do you really? Yeah. That's impressive. Thank I got to tell you, I don't. All right. Mariners back at it tonight. They'll take on the Tigers. 7:10 start. Pregame show will start at 6 here on 710 ESPN Seattle. A nice weekend series here already underway against Detroit. We've got the phone lines open. I'm kind of looking through a lot of the calls so far. And most of them are really relevant. Like, I'm pretty psyched about a few of these comments and questions. There is one line of six open. So if you want to jump aboard, you can do so. 206-421-3776. Open lines, anything you want to say, anything, any argument you want to make, whether it's about Robbie Cano, the future of the Mariners, the Seahawks offseason, something else going on that I haven't
Frisbees.
Thought of. Get after it, man. The lines are open. 206-421-3776. Nick, Cameron, Justin, Alex, Claire, and everybody else next. I'm Brock and Salk.